The secret things belong unto the Lord our God. Well, let's just leave them there. They're His. He doesn't want us to know what they are. But those things which are revealed, He says, belong unto us and to our children forever. That's a promise from God. Now, what does He mean when He says that? Whatever He brings to our attention is ours. We have the right, if He reveals it to us, if He brings a promise to us, and I'm praying that He will bring all of the promises in Psalm 20 to every one of us tonight. But if He brings it to our attention, He assures us in Deuteronomy 29, it is ours to claim personally. Now, doesn't that assure your hearts?
Hello, I'm Bill Vaughn, and I welcome you to spend these next few moments with me in the good Word of God. It is God's absolute truth that all His wonderful promises are for every Christian today. His promises are yours, and you can claim them right now and experience His sweet peace, His gracious joy, and His glorious victory. I trust that this biblical message from Psalm 20 will be a great blessing to you.
Would you turn in your Bibles to Psalm 20, one of my favorite. It's a blessed psalm. I think when I got saved, the Lord gave me a little saying. I didn't even realize I was saying it for so many years, but I've said it as long as I can remember since I've been saved. We can't lose for winning, and we cannot. And the Bible teaches that all the way through. And a lot of times it seems like everything's going wrong. In fact, it does now, doesn't it? It seems like everything is going wrong in our country. And we don't know whether we're going to make it or not, but I can guarantee you, we can't lose for winning. God is on the throne. He's always on the throne. And He assures us of that all the way through His Word, all the way through the Bible. We cannot lose for winning. Amen. I don't know why, after all those years, that I had never preached a sermon entitled, We Cannot Lose Winning. That's not the title of this one. But some time back, the Lord gave me a series of messages on Romans chapter 8, verses 28 through the end of the chapter. And I entitled that whole series, We Can't Lose for Winning. Amen, folks. And God has assured us of that in His precious Word. Would you stand with me, please, as I read one verse, and then let's go to the Lord in prayer. Psalm 20, verse 6, please. Now know I... Amen. Now know I, he said, I am sure. Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for the good word of God that you've given to us. And Father, we thank you for the sweet Holy Spirit of the Lord Jesus who lives in our hearts, Lord, and who teaches us the good word and assures us of your faithful promises. Lord, bless us tonight. May we all be encouraged with thy word. And Father, may we rejoice in thee, as the psalmist said. And we'll thank you for that, Lord. Use us for your honor and glory. May we set up our banners, as the psalmist said, and be witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Thank you, folks, and you may be seated. Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. Amen. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. If you will, look at the superscription just above the first verse in your Bible. That says, to the chief musician, a psalm of David. And that tells us that David was the author of this song, the human author, that is. Of course, we know the Holy Spirit is the author of all of the scriptures. But David was the human author. And then it was addressed to the chief musician, and that indicated that it was to be sung in public. And it became the national anthem for the nation of Israel. And it was always sung at the beginning of war because of the encouraging message that this psalm contains. And it contains it for all of us, folks, not just the children of Israel. You do believe this Bible is for you. Amen. Thank the Lord, we all do. Praise the Lord Jesus. The theme of this, Jehovah God promises victory to his people when we trust him. We've got to trust him. We've got to believe him if we're going to experience the victory that he has for us. Even though we're already saved, we must trust him. And the only thing that will give us the grace to do that is when he, the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, evokes faith, puts that faith in our hearts for us to believe. And so we need to continue in the Word. Keep on reading the Word, studying the Word, meditating upon the Word, memorizing the promises, in order that the Holy Spirit can give us the faith that we need when the trouble starts. And that's when this psalm was used, at the beginning of trouble in the nation of Israel. And they were in it all the time, weren't they? I bet they sang this song just about every day. And God gives these promises to us, folks, as well. the same promises that are found in here. I am sure of that because God's word says so. Let me give you this. First, God says that the Holy Spirit is the author of all scripture. 2 Timothy 3:16. You know that, don't you? All scripture is given by inspiration of God. The word inspiration means God breathed. In other words, it's the very product of God himself. 2 Timothy was one of the letters of Paul. That's not Paul's word there. That's God's word. That's the product of the Holy Spirit of God giving that message to the Apostle Paul, and he simply became the secretary. That's what Paul was. God gave him the word, and he wrote it down, but it's God's word. All scripture. Now, at the time that this was given to Paul, the New Testament was not in existence. Only the Old Testament. And those were the scriptures, and it says all of it, including Psalm 20. Every bit of it, all of the scripture, is given by inspiration of God. And then secondly, I am sure that we can't lose for winning that these promises are for us, as well as for Israel, because God says that every promise that he brings to our attention is ours to claim personally. Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God. Well, let's just leave them there. They're his. He doesn't want us to know what they are. But those things which are revealed, he says, belong unto us and to our children forever. That's a promise from God. Now, what does he mean when he says that? Whatever he brings to our attention is ours. We have the right, if he reveals it to us, if he brings a promise to us, and I'm praying that he will bring all of the promises in Psalm 20 to every one of us tonight. But if he brings it to our attention, he assures us in Deuteronomy 29, it is ours to claim personally. Now, doesn't that assure your hearts? Isn't that good? Just to know that whatever God brings to your attention in this word as a sweet promise from him is yours. You can stand upon it. It's meant for you personally if he brings it to your attention. And he's going to, I hope, use this simple preacher to point out some of these promises to you tonight. And the Holy Spirit will take them and seal them into your heart, I pray. But that's what God's word teaches us. So we know that all the promises in this one are for us. There are 8 things that God promises to do for us in the first 4 verses. Each of those verses contains 2 of those things that God promises us that he will do for us. Listen to them carefully. The Lord, verse 1, the Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. Listen, if this economy fails or we go into war or whatever happens, that's going to be a day of trouble in America. God promises us right now he will hear us. We don't have anything to worry about, do we? It's hard not to do, isn't it? Not to worry, that is. But God promises us that he will hear us. And then he says the second thing, the name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Thank the Lord Jesus. He will not only hear us, he will protect us. He will defend us. And then the second one, verse 2, send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. There are the other 2 things. He'll send us help from whence? From the sanctuary. And I'll tell you about that in a minute. But then he says, he will strengthen thee out of Zion. And I'll tell you about Zion in just a minute, too. But God promises to send help, and he promises to strengthen us. Verse 3, remember all thy offerings. He promises to do that. And then accept thy burnt sacrifice. And then he says, Selah. That means stop and think about that a while. I mean, that's good. Amen. You just consider that. Meditate upon that. Brother, what he has just told us is wonderful. Amen. We can't lose for winning. And he's given it to every one of us. He just revealed it to us, didn't he? In his word, right here. Thank the Lord Jesus. And then in verse 4, he says, grant thee according to thy own heart. What do you want more than anything else? What is your heart's desire? We'll talk about that in just a minute. And then he says, and fulfill all thy counsel. How would you work this thing out? What is your plan, your purpose? We'll talk about that. Go back to 1, verse 1. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. God's name is used here, and that word translated Lord, you see it's in capital letters. All of the letters in the word Lord are capitalized. Every time you see that in the Old Testament, and that word is capitalized, in the original, that word is Jehovah. It's not Elohim or any of the other names for God. It's Jehovah. Every time the word Lord appears in the Old Testament, anywhere, and by the way, it appears over 6,000 times in the Old Old Testament the name Jehovah.
Jehovah.
That's very important, because who is Jehovah? He's the one who hears us, according to this verse. Thank the Lord. The name Jehovah is the proper name for God. Jehovah means the self-existent one. It means the eternal one and the one who reveals himself. Praise the Lord. Think about that for a moment. Jehovah is the one who reveals himself to us. We cannot find him. He found us, didn't he? He revealed himself to us. Do you know what John says in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 and 14 and 18? 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God." And 14 says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." That was the Lord Jesus, wasn't it? And then in verse 18 it says, "No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." Jesus Christ revealed Jehovah God to us. Amen. God was declared by his Son in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, according to John. He declared him. The name Jehovah also is the redemption name of deity. That's the name used to signify the saving one, the Savior. Salvation is of God. Thank the Lord. The name Jehovah appears over 6,000 times in the Old Testament. It is translated Lord, as I told you. 5 times it appears in this psalm right here. And every time you see it, that name is Jehovah in Psalm 20. And by the way, the number in biblical numerics, the number 5 means grace or God's goodness. Ain't God good? I mean, he emphasizes that by giving his name 5 times to us right here in this psalm. Praise the Lord Jesus. I had the privilege in 1965 to 68 at the seminary of studying under one of the greatest Hebrew scholars living in his time, Dr. J. Wash Watts. And let me give you a quote from Dr. Watts. He's talking about the name Jehovah. And he said, "This name is a synonym for the moral attributes of God. And in all the teachings of all the prophets, we are led step by step to the conviction," listen, "that the Jehovah of the Old Testament is the Jesus of the New Testament." Glory to God. Who's talking to us in this psalm? Psalm 20. The blessed Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Listen to Deuteronomy 6:4. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord," that's Jehovah rather, because it's capitalized. "Jehovah, our God, is one Lord." Let me read it using Jehovah. "Hear, O Israel, the Jehovah, our God, is one Jehovah." Just one. There's one God who manifests himself in 3 persons. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But he's just one God. Amen. Zechariah 14:9, "And the Lord," and that again is Jehovah, "shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord," or one Jehovah, "and his name one." That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to God. G. Campbell Morgan, a great preacher of yesteryear, wrote this about him. He said, "Jehovah," the word Jehovah literally means "he becometh." That is he who becometh. The becoming one, becoming to his people whatever in his rich favor he pleases in order to meet their need, and at last becoming man. He becomes in grace what man's need. When he saved you, wasn't the Lord Jesus all you need? In his grace. He was everything for us, wasn't he? And he still is, and he always will be. Praise the Lord. We cannot lose for winning, thank God. The Lord Jesus Christ not only, listen, he not only gives us grace or unmerited favor, if you will, but he is that very grace personified, according to the scriptures. You know, unmerited favor really is an abstraction, isn't it? It's not a tangible thing that you can put your hand on. But the Lord Jesus Christ himself is. He is a real person, and he lives inside of our heart. Listen to what Paul said in Titus 2:11. "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." Grace appeared literally in the person of Jesus Christ. He is grace personified. When God gave you his grace, he gave you himself. Amen. Where is he now? He is omnipresent. He's everywhere. Thank the Lord, because how could he be in my heart and your heart at the same time if he wasn't? But we know he is. He's in all of our hearts. those of us who are saved. Amen? Because he's omnipresent. Thank the Lord Jesus. So when we receive the grace of God, we literally receive the life of God, the eternal life of God himself. John tells us that in the first epistle of John. The first 2 or 3 verses of 1 John tell us that the life, the eternal life, was manifested unto us. John said, we saw it. We saw it. And when we saw Jesus Christ, we saw the eternal life of God. When we receive salvation and receive eternal life, we literally receive the life of Jesus Christ in the person of his Holy Spirit to live in our beings forever. Isn't that wonderful? We can't lose for winning. Did you know God? Hey, brother, I'll never understand how he could have loved me enough to die, as wicked as I am, to have died on Calvary for me. But I'll tell you something that's far harder than that for me to understand. How could he love me enough now to come and live in this vile body? Brother, that's grace. That is pure grace. Amen. Thank the Lord Jesus that he loves us that much. Did you know he loved you that much? He does. We can't lose for winning. Amen. Since God's grace is always sufficient for all our needs, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, being that very grace, became just what we needed when he saved us. I'm glad he did. Likewise, Christ now being himself the very grace of God becomes whatever we need in any kind of need whenever we have needs. And that's no matter what happens tomorrow or the next day or next week or next year or any time period. 1 Corinthians 1:30, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. He's all of that and much, much more to us. The blessed Lord Jesus is our all. Paul said Christ is our life in Colossians. He's our very life. To live the Christian life is not to live a life that we try to live that would meet Christian standards or anything like that. No, we can't live the Christian life. And that's why God gave us his grace. He gave us his son to live in us. Living the Christian life is living the life of Jesus Christ. He is the Christian life. That's what I want. That's my heart's desire. Isn't it yours? I believe it is. I believe that's the heart's desire of every real Christian. We want to be just like our Lord. The next part of this, verse 1, the Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. And here the word God is Elohim. And that's another wonderful word. And he says, all you need is his name for your defense. Nothing but his name. Amen. Praise the Lord. God, Elohim, that word means Almighty God. Firstly, it expresses greatness and glory. He's a glorious God. He's a great God. He's a wonderful God. He's the only God. He's the true God. Secondly, it contains the idea of creating and governing power. He's the God, the only God who created the whole universe and all that is in it. And he's the only God who controls it and governs it and holds it together right now. And he does that with his own breath. We can't lose for winning. We're in his hands. We are in his hands. And then thirdly, it expresses the omnipotence and sovereignty of God. He is the almighty, all-powerful God. And he is sovereign. We can't lose for winning because he's our God. And we're his children. Secondly, it signifies the faithfulness of God to keep his covenant with his people. 1 Kings 8:23. And he said, Lord, and that word is Jehovah. And then he said, Lord God, and that word is Elohim. Of Israel, there is no God, no Elohim, again, like thee in heaven above or on earth beneath, who keepest covenant and mercy. Elohim is faithful. The God who defends us is faithful. He will do it just like he promised. And he's promised it to us here, hasn't he? You ought to get excited about that. That ought to encourage your heart. That ought to lift you up. You ought to say, praise the Lord Jesus. I can't lose from winning. He keeps covenant and mercy with thy servants that walk before thee with all their heart. Thirdly, it declares the fact that Elohim is the God of comfort to his people. And don't we need that? You know, I'm convinced that there's not a person in this world who's not hurting one way or another. If not physically, maybe emotionally, or some other kind of way. But we're all hurting. Everybody is. Everybody needs comfort. And everybody needs encouragement. And God has given us as Christians the ministry of encouraging each other. We ought to encourage the brethren. We need to do that. We need it. I mean, I need your encouragement. You need my encouragement. We need to love each other like that. And we can through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank God for that. And so he's the God of comfort. Isaiah 40 verse 1. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God, Elohim. We need to do that. Look at the second verse. Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. The sanctuary refers to the presence of God. It's symbolical of the very presence of God himself. When can God strengthen us? When we know his presence. when we are consciously aware of His presence. And how does that occur? When we're willing to humble ourselves before Him and let Him wash away all of our sin. And then we can be aware of His presence. Keep us clean at all times. That's not all. We can only be conscious of His presence as He reveals Himself to us through the Word of God, through the Bible, through the Scriptures. We must stay in the Word, and then He can reveal Himself to us. That's the only way He reveals Himself to us. Thank God He's given us the Word. Strengthen thee out of Zion, and that refers to the people of God. Let's just make a practical application here tonight and say that refers to all of us. We get help from God when we're aware of His presence. We get strength from God through each other, by fellowship with each other. We need each other. Amen. That's what church is all about for us. That's not the ministry of the church, solely, because we have an outreach ministry. And those are people who are lost, those that we need to reach. The sanctuary refers to that. And then Zion refers to the people of God. Look at verse 3. Remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifice. Remember thy offerings. Praise the Lord Jesus. What have I got worth offering to God? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. But God is so gracious, He'll accept my nothing. I can't lose for winning. I cannot do anything. But God doesn't care. He loves me. And He loves you. You don't have to have anything to give Him. It wouldn't be worth anything anyway. You don't have to have any talents or any ability. You don't have to have any of the Christian virtues to give it. You can't do that. You can't make yourself believe. I can't. Only God's Holy Spirit can do that. You can't make yourself love someone else. I cannot. None of us can. God's Holy Spirit can, and He gives us the grace to do that. And so what have we to offer God? God accepts it. And then He says He also accepts thy burnt sacrifice. Whatever it is, my nothing must be all the way. If it's a burnt sacrifice, it's totally consumed, isn't it? I must be sincere about this thing. It's either all the way or not at all with God. And then look at the next verse. Verse 4. Grant thee according to thine own heart. Amen. And fulfill all thy counsel. Thank the Lord Jesus. What is the desire of your heart? According to thine heart, He says He'll grant it. Firstly, I think my greatest desire, the best I know my old cold, dirty black heart, is to know Him better. I do not know the Lord Jesus like I want to know Him. That would be my request. Job said this in 6:8. Oh, that I might have my request, and that God would grant me the thing that I long for. In Job 23:3, he says, oh, that I knew where I might find Him, that I might come even to His seat, to get into His presence, to be aware of His presence. Well, he's with us always, isn't He? He never leaves us. But we aren't always consciously aware of His presence, are we? And only then can He really bless us, folks. The rest of the time we're groping out there in fear and unbelief and everything else, aren't we? If we're not really aware of His presence. And so that ought to be the desire of every Christian's heart, just to know the Lord like that. In Psalm 17:15, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness, and I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Now, my plan would be for me to get into God's presence in such a way that He could just completely change me to be like Him. Don't you want that, folks? We all want that, more than life itself, don't we? Because we love Him, because He first loved us. And you know what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 3:18? He said, we all, with open faith, every Christian, without a mask, without pretending, completely transparent before the Lord, we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glass, James teaches us, it refers to the Word of God. As we look into this Bible, if we're ready to let God do something for us and with us, when we read the Word of God, this is what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, beholding as in a glass, with open face, of course, the glory of the Lord. Dr. M.R. Dehan, many, many years ago, radio preacher, founded a radio Bible class. He was a medical doctor. Dr. Dehan said, you can find the blessed Lord Jesus on every page in this book, in every verse, in every word. He's there. When you read it, if you don't see Him, it's not that He's not there. You just missed Him, Dr. Dehan said. Amen. So when we see the Lord, when we stay in this book long enough to realize and to, not with these eyes, of course, but through spiritual eyes of faith, we understand that we're reading and it's a verbal picture of Jesus Christ Himself. When we see the Lord like that, then it says, we all are changed. Glory to God. Did you hear that? We all are changed from glory to glory into that same image. The image that we see, God changes us from glory to glory, little by little, into the very image of Jesus Christ through the Word of God. The Holy Spirit does that as we take the Word of God and just assimilate it into our lives, our being. Amen. Do you realize what this Bible is? It's all we have right now of God. Thank God we've got this. Amen. Only thing tangible. We want to be in His likeness, and that's the way that happens. Paul wanted that. Philippians 3, verses 7 through 10. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. I want to know Him. I give it all up just to know Christ. That's what Paul said. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him, he said. I'll give it all up that I may know Him like that. Paul said, I don't know Him like I need to know Him, but I want to. And the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings being made conformable unto His death. He'll do that for us. He said so. He'll grant our petitions. And then look at verse 5. He says this, listen. We will rejoice in thy salvation. Here's the assertion, or should be the assertion, of our purpose. Listen, since all of this is true, brother, I'm going to be glad in God. I'm just going to rejoice in the Lord. We've got something to be glad about, haven't we? And that's what David is saying right here. He said, since everything we've seen in the preceding verses is true, we will rejoice in thy salvation. And look at this. And in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. That last part there, the Lord fulfill all thy petitions, is a sudden interjection from the Holy Spirit of God saying to David, David, if you're going to be glad in God, you're going to fly your Christian flag. You're going to let the world know who you are. You're going to be a great witness for Jesus Christ. That's what that means. Set up our banners. If you're going to set up your banner like that and stand for me like you ought to do, he said, the Lord will fulfill all your petition. We need to do that, folks. Two things we need to do. We must do. We must rejoice in the salvation that God has given to us, and we must fly our flags high. Let the whole world know who we are and where we stand, and offer the sweet salvation of the blessed Lord Jesus to the whole world. That's what it means to fly that banner, to set up that banner. I wish I was always ready to fly that banner. Don't you? Too often in my Christian life, I haven't even been willing to bring it out of the box, let alone put it on the pole and fly it. Lord, have mercy. But we need to do that, folks. We need to do that. Then verse 6, again, David comes in and says, Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. And by the way, Dr. Watts again said that anytime you see the right hand of God in the Old Testament, that's referring to the blessed Lord Jesus, to Jesus Christ himself. That's how God does it all. And we need to realize the source of all of our spiritual strength and everything else we need comes only from Christ. He did that in verse 7. Listen, some trust in chariots and some and horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord of Jehovah, our God, our Elohim. We'll do that. We know it only comes from Him. All we need is the Lord Jesus. We will remember. Verse 8, they are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Praise the Lord. Save, Lord. Let the King hear us when we call. We can't lose for winning. God bless you. Dear Christian, I invite you to read and to reread and to meditate upon this beautiful Psalm 20 until you are convinced that God Himself is speaking to you through these divinely inspired scriptures. God's Holy Spirit can give you the faith to know that His written promises are for you. But He can do that only as you meditate upon His written word. Then I invite you to claim these promises personally and to rejoice in God's great salvation that He has so graciously given to you through our blessed Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Next, I invite you to purpose in your heart to fly your Christian banner. That is, to display publicly your confidence in God despite any adverse circumstances you might be enduring. Finally, I invite you to set up your Christian banner by openly displaying your faith in our faithful Lord Jesus Christ and by loving Him and loving others sincerely enough to witness to them of His saving grace. However, if you are not sure that you are saved and that you will go to heaven after you die, then please surrender completely to God right now and pray the following prayer to the Lord Jesus and let Him save you immediately. He will do it. Repeat this prayer after me and let it be your sincere prayer to the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear Lord Jesus Christ, I sincerely believe that you truly are the Son of Jehovah God. I believe that you died on the cross as my substitute some 2,000 years ago in order to pay the penalty for all my sins. Lord Jesus, I believe that you rose from the dead and that you are alive now. I truly believe that you are God's only Savior for lost mankind. I believe that you are able
to save me and that you sincerely love me and want to save me right now. Dear Lord Jesus Christ, I realize that I have sinned against you and against your holy law. I know that I deserve to die in the fires of hell. Lord Jesus, I am truly sorry for all my sins, and I now ask you to save me from all my wicked thoughts, from all my rebellious sins, from all my evil vices, and from all my bad habits. Please take them all out of my life completely and wash me clean with your divine blood. Please, Lord Jesus, remove from me the terrible guilt of my rebellion against you and give me your righteousness. Lord Jesus, right now, I sincerely surrender my entire life to you. Lord Jesus, please come into my life. Please be my only and my sufficient Savior and my Lord, and please be my life, my new life. Dear Lord Jesus, I love you, and I thank you for saving me and for giving to me your very own eternal life. I believe that you are now inside of me in the person of your sweet Holy Spirit, and that you are my new life. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have surrendered your life to Christ while hearing this message, you may find more helpful and encouraging spiritual insight on our Bill Vaughn Ministries website. Please go to www.billvaughnministries.org. Thank you for spending these few moments with me in the good Word of God. I pray that our blessed Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will richly bless you as you grow in grace and knowledge of Him. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Lord bless you.